Okay, the time is 12:05. Today is May 18th. I call this meeting to order. Can we please get a roll call?
Who do you want to do that, Claire? Do you have a list of members?
I can get that accessed. I don't have one directly in front of me.
Okay. I can do it with the names I have, but I'm not sure I've fully got everyone on the new assembly yet. So I can start with what I have, and I will not pronounce names correctly yet because I haven't heard them all yet. All right, so Claire Ting.
Present.
Rahul Verma.
Present.
Al-Hassan Bangura.
Present.
Rocco DiLorenzo.
Here.
Isatau Berry.
Here.
Siraj Parikh. Thought I saw Siraj join.
Yeah. Siraj is in the chat.
Lucia Balestri. Sorry, Lucia, you just said it for me.
All good.
I will get better over time. Benjamin Terhar. Niles Height.
Here.
Adam Vinson. Amy Wong. David Nachman.
Here.
Marwa Bakri. Noon Sun. Karis Everett.
Here.
Casey Platkin. Oh, thanks, Karis.
Here.
Omid Moini. Jamal Whalen.
Here.
Shelby Williams. Azugo Ononyi.
Here.
Patrick Cool.
Here.
And that's what I have, Claire.
Are there any members of the assembly who are present and weren't listed off the roll call? Okay, seeing as none, Jessica, what's our number for today?
I have 14, but
okay.
I'm not sure they're all voting members. I'm sorry, Claire.
No worries.
I will do an extra count here and put it in the chat.
All right, sounds good. So while that's happening, we can go on ahead with the land acknowledgments. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayogono Cayuga Nation. The Gayogono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayogono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gayogono people, past and present, to these lands and water. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is late additions to the agenda. Are there any on the floor?
I would like to make a motion to add Resolution 3, implementing the Office of Ethics's recommendations on presidential succession to the new business of the day.
Under new business, okay. And is that a motion?
That is a motion.
All right, and by unanimous consent?
That is correct.
Okay, second. There was a motion on the floor. There was a second. Is there any dissent? Awesome. Okay, seeing as there is none, we'll be adding Resolution 3 under new business. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. So if everyone could log into the box and take a look at the May 4th and May 11th meeting minutes, May 4th was the last meeting from the old assembly, and May 11th was our last special meeting where we discussed Starbucks. So if there's any misspellings, typos, take a look. Do we have any motions on the floor?
I motion to approve all of those meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
There was a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There was a second. Do we have any dissent?
Point of inquiry. It looks like some members don't have access to the box. Jessica, is there another way that they can access those documents?
The links in the agenda should work. That's because they are brand new members and we have not added them. I will start to add people during the meeting here.
Okay, I just pasted the link to the May 11th meeting minutes. If the new representatives could go ahead, click that and verify that it works. Okay, Representative DiLorenzo, would you like to withdraw your motion?
I would like to withdraw that motion.
Okay. Rep. DiLorenzo?
Point of information. So I think this is how the box works, but like you, even if you have the link, you won't be able to see it unless you're added to that account. So what might be easier is if people really want to see the meeting minutes, we can show them on like a screen, on like a share screen, because I don't think we're going to figure out how to add everyone by then. Or you could just sort of like take the word that like all of those meeting minutes basically just document everything that happened at the May 4th meeting and then the other meeting that we had. But I don't know what people want to do.
I think it's reported in the chat, Rep. Ballastieri mentioned that it does work. Same with Representative Platkin.
Bad.
You're good. Okay. Seeing as all representatives now have access to the meeting minutes, we have a motion on the floor.
I motion to approve those meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
There is a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, there was a second. Is there any dissent to approving the May 4th and May 11th meeting minutes? Seeing no dissent, this motion passes. Okay, so we're going to be moving on to announcements and reports from the Office of Ethics. So essentially, for a little bit of context, Representative Kuhl and I spoke to Chairperson Bangura on Tuesday night, and we each presented our claims to the presidential succession, where we each demonstrated our research and relevant information that provides claim. The Office of Ethics, which Chairman Bangura can go more into depth, essentially is an impartial body that reviews the factual correctness and validity of these claims. And they're going to go on and show us a proposal that the assembly can choose to adopt or reject. That being said, Chairman Bangura, you have the floor.
Thank you so much. So just to start with a brief introduction to the Office of Ethics, essentially it was established two assemblies ago to replace the Office of Research and Accountability as an impartial body that is essentially able to analyze ethical issues that affect the integrity of the student assembly. And considering the current situation that we're in with the presidential succession not being clear, all seven members of the Office of Ethics, of which I am not a voting member as chair, talked to both Representative Ting and Representative Kuhl about their claims to the presidency and analyzed it with the rules that the assembly follows, Robert's Rules of Order newly revised, the Charter of the Student Assembly, and the bylaws of the Student Assembly. All of this is being compiled into a proposal, which will be made fully available on the 19th. However, I have all the notes with me, so I will briefly go over the rationale. And all of this ends up leading into the recommendations that are made in Resolution 3, which I sent via email to everybody because I'm not sure where everybody stands with box access. But essentially, the main concise argument made in the proposal is essentially juxtaposing or really comparing the charter and the bylaws to Robert's Rules of Order, of which in our bylaws, we are held by parliamentary authority to follow Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised in all instances where Robert's rules are applicable, and except in instances where there is a contradiction between Robert's rules and the charter or the bylaws. Now, in Robert's rules, there is a clear chapter which indicates that even though our charter does not claim supremacy over our bylaws, that essentially a corporate charter always has supremacy over bylaws, which implicates that our charter is supreme to the bylaws, and that if there is a contradiction between bylaws and a corporate charter, that the bylaws do not win out and the charter must reign supreme. And additionally, that contradiction should not exist between these two documents. Now, analyzing that and looking into the charter's classification of the presidency, the first thing that the Office of Ethics debated was whether the presidency truly counts as a seat and an office, or as an office and seat in separate capacities. And for that, we looked into the direct wording of the presidency, not just in the charter, but primarily in the charter, but also in the precedent of how the student assembly has considered the presidency, which is that we essentially ruled or not ruled or discussed amongst ourselves and decided that the presidency is not necessarily split into two as an office and as a seat, and more so is an office that acts as a seat or a seat that acts as an office, meaning that when the student body is electing their president, they are truly electing their president, who serves in the seat of president, which essentially means that we decided that both of these documents are indeed in conflict, because we have one that is asserting in its vacancy section 6, I believe, stating that all vacancies of the student assembly must be filled by the second place winner of an election. And then if they don't accept it, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and after that, a special election. And then we have Article 3, Section 2 of the bylaws, essentially asserting that the executive vice presidency, when the office is vacant, must assume the presidency. With this, and considering Robert's rules, we essentially decided that the charter must win over. But we also notably took notice to the fact that Robert's rules also asserts that the vice president, in theory, should take up the presidency. However, based off of how we have written our parliamentary authority here in the student assembly, even though that is a contradiction between the charter and Robert's rules, there is nothing in the charter or the bylaws that conflicts with the fact that the charter is still the supreme document of this body. And thus, because of that, the rules of the charter must win over the rules of the bylaws, which would institute the second place runner-up to the presidency as the president of the student assembly and retain the executive vice president in their position. And moving into Resolution 3, that's essentially what Resolution 3 asserts. And it additionally calls upon this assembly to essentially review Robert's rules in itself and decide as a body whether we want to continue with the charter's interpretation or move to the line of secession that is implied in both Robert's rules and the bylaws, as this contradiction in general, regardless of what happens today, has to be fundamentally addressed by this assembly. And with that, I'll pause for any questions.
Yeah, so thank you so much for that. So seeing as the Office of Ethics have made their research and as stated in Resolution 3 that we're recognizing the Supremacy Clause of the Charter, would that immediately institute Representative Kuhl to be chair and president?
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. With that, if there are no questions, I guess in general, my email is always open. My messages are always open. So if something does pop up, definitely feel free to let me know. And then in general, on the morning of the 19th, tomorrow, all of you will be emailed this long proposal detailing the thought process and the arguments of both sides in where our governing documents lie. And that'll be available in full for everybody to review. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that presentation. So seeing as the Office of Ethics have just given their presentation, I'll go on and cede chair to President Kuhl.
Thank you, Vice President Ting. I accept that secession of chair. So with that, we will move on. Just pulling up the agenda here. Into presentations and forums, which we have none of. And on to business of the day. The first item on that agenda is appointment of presiding officers and clerk. Is there any discussion on that? Okay, seeing none, and seeing as that I am now the presiding officer of this assembly, we will move on from that to considerations of presidential succession. Does anybody have any thoughts on or contradictions or anything else you would like to say before moving on to the resolution? Okay, seeing that there is no comments on that, we will move into the new business section, which is not on here, but we'll house the resolution 3, which you have all received from Al-Hassan, as he said, in your inboxes. It's also in the box, which I believe you all should have access to now, as Jessica just said in the chat. That's beautiful. Thank you, Jessica. So because this is not passed through committee, we do need 2/3 of votes on the floor, I believe, to be able to vote on this today. So the chair would smile favorably on a motion to put this resolution officially on the agenda for today.
I motion to add this resolution to the agenda.
Second.
By unanimous consent.
All right, the motion is to add the resolution, Resolution 3, which again, you have all received in your inboxes, to the agenda for today as the next agenda item. Is there any dissent to that motion? Lovely. Okay, that resolution is added to the agenda. We will now move into it. That again is Resolution 3. Because it's out of the agenda, we will now move into discussion about this resolution. The floor is open. Representative Ting.
So as one of the three sponsors on this and someone that is not chair, I can go ahead and just present it. So like President Kuhl mentioned, this should be in your email inboxes. For those of you who haven't had a moment to take a look yet, I can go on and just read through it. Whereas on Tuesday, May 9th, during the organizational meeting of the newly sworn in student assembly, following the announcements of the election results, VP DeLorenzo motioned to remove President Pedro da Silveira under Article 4, Section 7B of the Student Assembly Charter, allowing the Student Assembly to recall any member by 2/3 affirmative votes by the voting membership. Whereas since the Assembly's removal of Pedro da Silveira, the presidency of the Student Assembly stands still vacant due to a conflict between the Student Assembly Charter and bylaws, with both governing documents proposing conflicting methods for filling the role. Whereas methods to select a new president have failed, with the Student Assembly having gone without a president, parliamentarian, and executive archivist for 8 days, and the front runners of the presidency are unable to select amongst themselves. Whereas the members of the Student Assembly Office of Ethics was created upon agreement between the Student Assembly and its membership, that of the Student Assembly, is in need of a structured system imbued with the authority to ensure accountability, ethical conduct, justice, and growth. Whereas the Office of Ethics on Tuesday, May 16th, heard arguments from both frontrunners of the presidency on their claims and have consulted Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, the governing documents of the Student Assembly. Whereas the Code of Ethics and amendments to the Ethics Clause of the Student Assembly Standing Rules have been incorporated into the framework of the Assembly, and an amendment to the bylaws is necessary for the office to function. Be it therefore resolved that the following recommendations from the Office of Ethics proposal for resolving governing document conflict and establishing a consistent method for presidential succession in the Student Assembly be adopted by this Assembly. 1. The Student Assembly must formally recognize the superiority of Article 6, that should be Article 4, Section 6 of the Student Assembly Charter over the implied succession clause of Article 3, Section 2 of the Student Assembly Bylaws, pursuant to Article 9 of Student Assembly Bylaws, which place Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, and parliamentary authority over all Student Assembly documents. 2, the Student Assembly address the contradiction between the bylaws, charter, and suggestions of Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, within the first three meetings of the fall 2023 term following the freshman transfer and special election cycle. So all Chairperson Bangura, me, and President Kuhl have signed off on this resolution. Before we go ahead, I do want to double check with Chairperson Bangura and President Kuhl if the first section of the final be it therefore resolved clause is supposed to say Article 4, not Article 6. I'm assuming that first one is under voting membership, but I wanted to double check before I make a motion to amend.
Thank you. I'll briefly check that, but I believe so.
I'm pulling up the chart right now. Thank you.
Sorry, one more time.
I'm pulling up the charter right now.
Okay, beautiful. So as President Kuhl is pulling up the charter, in essence, this presidential succession, first of all, thank you everyone for being very patient throughout this entire process. The reason why it took so long was because this issue goes beyond just Patrick and myself. It's beyond who becomes president as people, but rather what type of precedent are we effectively setting for the future of this assembly. This is the first ever time that we've seen an issue like this where a president was sworn in and then immediately removed, and the first time that we've seen this contradiction in the charter. Both President Kuhl and I have done hours of research, with Chairperson Bangura doing even more so. There was originally a 10-page write-up that never even got to be used, and I'm sure even more research, hours and hours and pages upon pages, in order to be able to resolve this. So I think we should all give a big thank you to Al-Hassan for this effort, as well as Jessica for helping us set up this infrastructure with Katie in the Office of Assemblies. So thank you all so much, Jessica, Katie, Al-Hassan. Your work is very much so appreciated.
Al-Hassan.
Thanks. Thank you so much for that, Claire. I'd like to, address that a bit of an error on my part, that the version that Claire read out loud is technically an older version, but there is a newer version that I sent via, a more updated email, but the one in the docs is even more updated in that it includes if that amendment hasn't been made yet, it probably should, changing Article 6 to Article 4, because Article 4, Section 6 is where that line in the charter resides. But to read over be it therefore resolved for that over, just for everybody's knowledge, be it therefore resolved that the following recommendations from the Office of Ethics' proposal be adopted by this Assembly. The Student Assembly must formally recognize the superiority of Article 4, Section 6 of the Student Assembly Charter over the implied succession clause of Article 3, Section 2 of the Student Assembly Bylaws, pursuant to Article of the Student Assembly Bylaws, which places Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, in parliamentary authority over all Student Assembly documents. Accordingly, the Student Assembly shall institute Vice President of Internal Operations, Patrick Kuhl, as President of the Student Assembly, and Executive Vice President Claire Ting shall remain as Executive Vice President of the Student Assembly. 2, the Student Assembly shall address the contradiction between the bylaws, charter, and the suggestions of Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, within its first three meetings of the fall 2023 term, following the freshman transfer and special election cycle. And three, the proposal, once published, be documented by the executive archivist and made available to the public to keep record and maintain precedent.
Lovely. And just to add on to that, as Alhassan did mention, I am currently the VP of Internal Operations and also seated on the University Assembly. I will be ceding both of those seats to the charter in terms of way of replacement, which is clearly outlined there. Representative Everett.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to inquire if this would be the new precedent set should anything happen as crazy as what happened these last couple of weeks. Should the president be upseated like directly after being elected? Is this the new precedent that the student assembly is going to take for use to follow, or are we going to make a new amendment to distinguish that we are following these rules from now on?
To answer that, if everybody else, the other sponsors don't mind, I think that this is the current precedence that we're setting under the current rules, but the way that I have talked about it is that we should be thinking very critically about how we amend our bylaws and charter so that they are in line with what we believe is the correct way to do things and make sure that there's no conflicts going forward. Alhassan, I see you have a point as well.
Yeah, I would concur with Representative Poole on that. Essentially, this is the solution to the problem, I'd say. But especially as emphasized in two, the student assembly will have the ability or is tasked with the ability to rethink this situation based off of what Robert's rules, the charter, and the bylaws suggest, because inherently they are suggesting three different things. So there will be room for the voting members of the assembly after all of the new members from the special election and the freshman and transfer elections are added in to actually set what the precedent will be for the future. But this is essentially like the precedent for now until then, if that makes sense.
If no other comments at this time, I would smile favorably on a motion to vote on this.
I motion to end debate by unanimous consent.
Second.
Lovely. Is that by unanimous consent?
Yes, it was.
Lovely. There is a motion on the floor to end debate by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, we are out of debate and need a motion to vote. Rocco DeLorenzo.
I motion to vote on this resolution by unanimous consent.
I second.
Lovely. There was a motion and a second to vote on this resolution by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, this resolution passes unanimously. Resolution 3. Thank you, everybody. And Jessica just said there are 16 total voting members, or 16 total.
I think it's 16 total.
I'm confused. Wasn't that a motion to vote, or was that a motion to pass the resolution?
We motioned to vote, and then when voting, and then VP DeLorenzo made a motion to vote to pass by unanimous consent.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarification, Representative Ting, Vice President Ting. Okay, there's no further business on the agenda. With that, I would just like to say that I am ceding my my position as Vice President of Internal Operations, as well as my seat on the University Assembly, effective immediately, recognizing my new position as the President of the Student Assembly. So we will have another special meeting in the future, both to appoint other positions as well as to fill those seats. So be on the lookout for that. It shouldn't be too soon. We've got some time, but that will be coming up at some point. Representative Ting.
Motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
There was a motion on the floor to adjourn this meeting by unanimous consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Lovely. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Have a good weekend.